The Arts Theatre in London is known for two things. The English language premiere, directed by Peter Hall, before he was Sir Peter Hall, of Samuel Beckett's Waiting for Godot in 1955. And the 1992-93 run of the complete works of William Shakespeare abridged, and the summer of 2012, the London Olympics run of the complete world of sports abridged, both by the reduced Shakespeare company. Which of these will the Arts Theatre be known for mostly in the future?
I can't say. Why not? I'm waiting for Godot.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast number 294, The Arts Theatre.
Here we are. We just opened at the Arts. It's great to be back. They haven't, you know, when you step outside into the back and you smell the Chinese food in the restaurant a few doors down, I don't think they've changed the grease in 20 years. The smell has not. It's exactly the same. Yes, we are sharing the stage with the Drag Divas two nights a week. They come on after us, except for the one guy we had opening night who appeared to be part of the Drag Divas, who's just part of our show during the Parade of Nations. Matt Rippey, you've never been here to the Arts. This is kind of new for you?
Yeah, completely new. Never been on the stage or backstage. I think I came here in 1994 to see John Hurt do Crap's Last Tape, which was great. So I've been here as a punter, and I don't think they've changed the upholstery of the seats since then. But as we've talked, we love the size, we love the coziness of it. Yeah. We love that the people are right there where they can smell our spit and taste our sweat.
It is perfect. It's for the Reduced Shakespeare Company. It's a reduced theater. It's 350 seats on the floor and on a balcony that sort of wraps around three sides. It's nice. Reed Martin, memories.
Well, yeah, the upstairs, the dressing room area has been reconnoitered, so we have fewer dressing rooms, I think, but a bit bigger.
They're roomier, and they're all ensuite showers and baths.
Yes, and the lobby has been redone. It's much spiffier, and there's now like a tea room and a bar there.
Right, more welcoming, yes.
The downstairs used to be kind of a restaurant and bar, and now it's more like a club,
Social, I think it's literally called the London Social Club or something.
Yeah. So that we don't really hang out there. It used to be after the show we'd go down there, but now they serve beer in the lobby, so we do it there. But yes, the auditorium feels pretty much exactly the same. Ali said, these seats look like the seats at the Sebastiani Theater, which were installed in 1934.
Well, I wonder if they're the original seats from 1927. I bet people who saw Waiting for Godot sat on the same chairs that are seeing us.
They might be sitting in Samuel Beckett's seats. Amazing.
Back when Samuel Beckett still approved of the productions of his plays.
Yes.
Boy, and you saw Crap's Last Tape there. There's definitely a history of Beckett in this.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, he did What a Piece of Work Is Man speech as just a little encore.
Really?
And
John Hurt, not Sam Beckett.
John Hurt, not Sam Beckett. And I don't know, I'll have to say that I kind of prefer the Reduced Shakespeare Company's version.
One of the things that has not changed in the 20 years is that for some reason, we don't have exclusive use of the theater or the stage. 20 years.
Because we don't own it.
Yeah, we don't. Yeah, only because we don't own it. I mean, but I thought if we're renting it out, then I guess we would have anyway. But that's not how it works currently.
But yeah, when I remember 20, was the stage yellow when you arrived?
Yes, I don't know whether it was arrived, but I do remember it. Yeah.
Yeah. We were here for almost a year, and at some point, fairly early, 2 or 3 months on, they said, "Oh yes, the Unicorn Children's Theatre Company, which I think had the lease on the place, and probably were technically renting it from them, said, oh yeah, the next show they're going to raise the stage by about 18 inches, paint it yellow, and put an even steeper rake." Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So for the next 9 months, we did the complete works of William Shakespeare. I mean, already the stage is kind of high, the front row seats are not the best.
Yeah. And we had to step off the rake into the wings. At least now the stage we're on, the rake is consistent into the wings.
Step down to get into the wings. Yes.
Yeah,
that was a dream come true.
Yeah, it was a dream come true. Well, here, there is the rake. I do remember that. And you were saying that you remember more of the front of the theater than I do.
I mean, there's the way to the dressing rooms from the stage is up a big, I guess, two flights of stairs that are stage left. And I don't really have any recollection. I came to the theater. I don't really have a recollection of that.
I didn't. I couldn't have told it. But the minute I saw it, I went, oh, right. I remember these stairs. 20 years ago, I didn't mind these stairs. Now, oh, Jesus. I got to go up these stairs now.
This dressing room is apparently, you were saying it was, they've expanded. They've like knocked it through. There's a jacuzzi in the corner. I mean, this used to be just a tiny broom closet, right?
It was.
You, Reed Martin,
Adam Long, yeah.
Squeezed up next to each other.
Squeezed up next to each other. And they had a couch in the green room. Now they don't have a couch, but they do have a kettle and a fridge and a microwave.
There's a green room?
Well, there's kind of the green area.
Where the hall widens.
See, that used to be a separate room.
Oh. Yeah, that was a room with a door and walls.
It's sort of an L-shaped, I seem to recall like an L-shaped, I don't know,
couch.
On two sides where you could sit. It wasn't much, but it was sort of separate. Now, it's just where the highway, it's just where the hallway widens.
Well, and the other thing I do remember, and what's nice is that there's a couple places where you can get outside onto the roof. You know, we're sort of on the third floor of a five-story building, and you can get out onto these little terraced areas. And when I say terrace, that makes it sound really glamorous. It's not. It's just a table on a rooftop. But it's away from the sun, and when there is sun, it can be lovely out there. And it's only started, what are we, in our seventh week here in the UK? It's only sunny enough to wear shorts today for the first time ever as we record on July 23rd, 2012. The other thing I am remembering, though, however, now that it's hot outside, is that the theater's hot.
Yeah.
There's no AC here. And so
this is the 21st century, for crying out loud. What's the matter with you people?
What's the matter? Well, I guess it costs money, doesn't it? But that's the other thing, too. People tell this every time we come here. Well, we don't need air conditioning because the weather never gets hot enough to need it. Well, except for every summer.
Yeah.
You know, it does. Every time I've been here, it's needed in a couple of days. So we have these. We have at least three fans going on stage at all times, except during the reduced Olympic torch, because we weren't able to keep it from going out.
We have at least three fans who show up at the tables every night.
That's right, and we sign autographs, and that this is a different thing. It's not unique to the Arts Theater, but it is. It's different over here. You know, in the States, we get a lot more high fives from the audience. Here in Britland, they love to shake our hands more. And you know, put our hands up for a high five, and there's a kind of that awkward kind of a, ooh, what am I supposed to do? They're delighted.
Well, what's also different is we started going out to the lobby to sign autographs after our run at the Arts.
That's true.
We didn't do this here. I think it was on our next British tour after that, and I seem to recall it was in Rickmansworth, which is just a town in England, where we said, well, let's do that. I think we'd seen Penn and Teller and the Flying Karamazovs do it.
Yep.
And so that's a difference. And it's a little awkward for the audience because they don't really have any way to just sort of politely walk past because it's a very small lobby. I wish it was a little wider so that people who wanted to stop could and people who... But it's better that we do it than we don't.
Yeah. But one of the cool things about the Arts Theater is that it's the smallest West End venue. And I think 20 years ago, it wasn't technically the West End. I think it was more off West End.
Yeah, I remember the whole advertising thing when we were here 20 years ago was they'd list all the West End shows, and we were a big West End hit, but we weren't listed among West End shows. And I don't know how they got that change designated, but in New York, it's by the number of seats.
Yeah. Arts is now a Lort Theater, so which gives them a technically a West End status. A lot of the papers are still confused, so some don't. Salt. Sorry, yes, yes. Lort is in the States.
Yeah.
Salt is over here. Not salt as in salt and pepper, but Society of
London Theatres.
So Salt. And there's a bit of confusion. But as far as I'm concerned, we're in the West End. We're in a theater next door to West End theaters, so we're in the West End, baby.
Well, and it's not. It's by no means as glam as the Criterion. You know, the Criterion was a lovely sort of jewel box of a theater right off of Piccadilly. It has no frontage to speak about, but you go in and it's all down below. The Criterion was a bomb shelter during World War II. People could go down there and and broadcast. But I do think this is a lovely location because it's near Seven Dials in Covent Garden. It's near the intersection of Charing Cross Road and St. Martin's Lane and Long Acre and Garrick Street and Great Newport Street. It's right above the Leicester Square Tube. So if you're near that corner, even if you're down at the Tesco's a block away or down St. Martin's Lane, you can see the big sign we have, which I think is great.
Hi, I'm Rosie.
I'm Jessica.
And we are from
Rosie and Jessica's Day of Fun.
And you are listening to the Reduce Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? We have 5 weeks left of our West End London 2012 Olympics run of the Complete World of Sports Abridged at the Arts Theatre. We run here until August 25th, then head home to start touring the Complete History of America Abridged and the Ultimate Christmas Show Abridged this fall of 2012. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information.
The other great thing about this theater is that the audience is all right in front of us.
Yes.
Sometimes we play thrusts or kind of a theater in a round where the audience is sort of in 180 degrees in a semicircle. In this theater, 330 or something seats, and they're all in front of us. The stage is not big, so it's very intimate. I mean, the people in the balcony, I guess one maybe a third of the seats are in a balcony, but it's not very far away, so I guess they don't feel like we could get to them very easily. But everybody else sort of feels like we're right there.
Well, and the nice thing is we've played a lot of different big venues, and I think we might have even talked about this before on very previous episodes of the podcast, but what's nice about here, the arts, is that the actors and the audience are all in the same room. And that's a great thing for a comedy, is that we're all just here together doing this. So the buzz, the response, even from some of the quieter audiences, which we've had, because a couple times it's been hot, and people just go, "Ugh, yeah, it's funny. I don't have the energy to make any noise about it, but yes, it's funny." But even when they're not making as much noise as we'd like them to make, we can feel the buzz and we can see them smiling.
Yeah, it's a shared experience, which is what this is supposed to be anyways, a shared experience, a coming together, if you will. In fact,
theater specifically a shared experience, and comedy even more so.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of coming together, have you talked about the couplings that have happened
here? Separate thing.
A whole separate podcast, because as we found out, opening nights, a lot of RSC alumni came out to support us. It was great. There was a massive group of ex-RSC members here, and that was when I began to learn how many people are still together 20 years later. So maybe that's a little teaser for an upcoming podcast.
No, for sure. Well, and this is the 20th anniversary of me being in the Reduced Shakespeare Company is this summer. So I joined the RSC on July 1st, 1992, and did my first eight months of performances with the RSC on this little arts theater stage. And I remember the next theater I performed in was the McCarter in Princeton, and I was so nervous because it's three times the size. It's a huge stage, and I went, I don't know how to perform
this. Three times the size in Princeton, three times the intellect.
Right, and I didn't know how to do it. It took a long time. What? It took me a long time to shake off the size of the arts.
So, Austin, this is going back a little.
Yeah.
You say they're all in the same room with us, and I can hear in my mind listeners saying, well, of course, it's a theater. They're all in the same room with you. Can you explain what you mean by that?
Yeah. I guess what it is because the balcony here at the Arts is right on top. It's not farther back. It's right on top next to us. So some of the people in the balcony are closer to us than some of the people in the back of the stalls or the orchestra here, as I say. And then some of the theaters we've played, like the Buxton Opera House being a classic example, and even the Criterion to a certain degree, these small jewel boxes with a stalls and then a middle balcony and then or a dress circle and then a top higher circle or a second balcony, then you really are playing to three different audiences, and they can all like it, but it's really hard to get them to act as one because they don't feel like one. They feel like it's like first class and coach.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Segregated by by income. So you have first class patrons, middle class patrons, and lower class. Although, actually, if you're in the upper circle, maybe you're upper class.
We're even if you're in the balcony, you're still very, very close to us and close to the people below you. And the same distance from us. Speaking of the rake stage, the other thing I forgot about the rake stage is that my butt gets sore. Because you stand at a rake stage is where the stage is at one level at the front of the stage near the audience, and it's at a higher level upstage near away from the audience so people can see. And so you have to stand differently. And so my butt's getting sore. The other thing I've forgotten is that when we first came in here, when I first joined the company in July, I had to take a shower after every show. And I thought it was because, oh, this is what you do. This is what you do as actors. You take a shower after every show because you work up such a sweat. And then I remember stopping at some point. And I think it was because it stopped.
Sadly, I remember when you stopped as well.
Yeah.
Well, and now that we're doing a show about sports, so it's hard putting the three of us into that single cubicle of shower.
I know, that's cubicle of shower. But what I remembered is this theater, once the summer ends, it gets cool again. And I stopped sweating. So I think it was less about my energy and more about the building.
I'm still taking the Northern Line to come in and out of the theater, combining with the bus. But a little bit of the Northern Line combined with a surface bus still remains significantly faster than just having to take the Northern Line from Leicester Square up to Hampstead. And Mornington Crescent is now open. Another thing that's different is when we were here for a year in 1992-93, and for several years thereafter, Mornington Crescent on the Northern Line was under construction. But it's finished now. I've never stopped there either way, but it was just funny.
Well, you know, and the other nice thing is that there are many, many fewer, in fact, no, zero bombings this summer.
Thanks for that, Austin.
Yeah. I mean, well, we've been bombing, of course, every night.
Now, on opening night, Matt and Austin were kind of nervous here. They had never opened a show at the Arts. And so I had to give them my little pep speech, you know. Well, gentlemen, you know, 20 years ago when we opened the complete works of William Shakespeare abridged here at the Arts, we said, this is an effing funny show. Just go out there, do the performance, you know, and if they don't like it, screw them. And we rocked them.
Yes, and that has appeared to be the case here as well. That's going to be talk about a teaser for another podcast as well. We're going to have to do a podcast where we review the reviews because
people have loved it, people have hated it, audiences have universally loved it.
Audiences,
the critics have loved it and hated it.
Oh, I can't wait. They said, "Oh, well, it's not doesn't focus on the Olympics." No, it's called the Complete World of Sports Abridged. That's not called the Complete Olympics Abridged.
Yes, there's not enough focus on Britain. There's too much focus on Britain.
Yeah.
Don't make fun of the Brits.
Yeah. Well, fortunately, with the audiences, they all are loving it. So that's a very nice thing.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your Reduced Theater via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you can post reviews on iTunes. You can interact with other fans on our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, head usher Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Mrs. Emily Cardinal. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Rosie and Jessica from Rosie and Jessica's Day of Fun podcast, which you can find on iTunes, rosieandjessica.co.uk, or on Twitter @DayOfFunShow, or it might be @DayOfUnShow. Not sure. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Tichner, 294, 880 seconds of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
I would say it's going to be known mostly for the Drag Divas coming soon to the Arts Theater.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.